Parshas Kisavim. In the beginning of this week's parsha, the Torah is describing the mitzvah of Bikurim. And there is, as we know, a declaration that has to be made by the person who presents his Bikurim to the Kohen. Now, if you have a Chumash in front of you, you ought to see the following. In Pasuk Gimel, it says as follows. Uboso el HaKohen, you will come to the Kohen, Asher Yir Bayomim Hohen, who will be there in those days. So I think we should immediately pick up on that, and Chazal do. What does that mean? You will come to the Kohen who is there in those days, as opposed to the Kohen who was there 50 years ago. So Rashi quoting the famous Chazal, Ein lecha elo Kohen shebiyomecha. All you have is the Kohen in your days. What does that mean? What does that mean? Obviously, I can't bring the Bikurim today to the Kohen who was there yesterday, or tomorrow, or 10 years ago, or in 10 years' time. So what does it mean? What's this emphasis on the fact that you have to bring your Bikurim to the Kohenim who are there in those days? What does that mean? Question number one. You then make your declaration, and you say as follows, V'omar ta'elav, and you should say to the Kohen. Now listen to this little diuk that the Chavos Das makes, the Nesilus. Higadati hayoim l'Hashem Elokecha. I declare today to who? L'Hashem Elokecha. To Hashem, your God. What does that mean for you? He's not the Yisrael's God. He's declaring to the Kohen that I hereby declare L'Hashem Elokecha. Very strange. It's your HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not yours. It's only the Kohen's. He should have said, I make my declaration, Lashem Elokeinu, to our joint God. Right. What does that mean, Lashem Elokecha? Second question. A third question is, this is all reversed in the next pasuk. It says, the Kohen will take the basket from the Yisrael, and he will place it, Lifnei Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Again, in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem, your, the Yisrael's God. It's all tennis match, really. A minute ago, it was Hashem Elokecha, the Kohen's, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kohen takes the basket and puts it in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem Elokecha, the Yisrael's Hashem. But what's going on over here? Very, very strange. Very, very, very strange. What is the main declaration that he makes? He says, Bosi el Haaretz, I have come to the Oretz, meaning Eretz Yisrael. It's totally superfluous. I can see he's come to Eretz Yisrael, he's here in front of me. The whole phraseology over here needs a lot of an explanation, and this is all picked up. There is a sefer called Nachalas Yaakov. Nachalas Yaakov is a thin little sefer, but a terrific work written by the famous Nesivus, the Chavos Das, and he picks up on these four diukim. Again, number one, why must you stress the Kohen in those days? Number two, why does it say that you give it to the Kohen and you say L'Hashem Elokecha? And then thirdly, the Kohen responds the Mizbeach of L'Hashem Elokecha. And then fourthly, why bother saying I've come to the Oretz when it's perfectly obvious you've come to Eretz Yisrael, because here you are. So the Chavos Das explains, and this is very, very, very important, you saw that he explains. And he says, he introduces it with a moshel. In fact, two mashalim. Imagine you have a melech, he says, who wants to give paranasa to a certain member of his empire. He summons a shliach and he says to him, listen, I'd like to give $1 million to this member of my empire. Very loyal, dedicated service. I think he deserves $1 million. Could you please be the shliach to give him $1 million? Sure, your majesty, with the greatest of honor. So he takes out his, opens the key to the treasury, says, here's $5 million. He says, five? I thought you said you only want to give him one. He says, that's true. But you can keep the change. You can keep the change. You're doing a very loyal job. I know it's a big schlep to deliver the million to this person. So you can keep the extra four. Fine, very good. obviously, when the Shliach takes the million, plus the four that he's just pocketed, he will knock on the door of this lucky recipient and say, thank you so, so much. Why are you thanking me? You're bringing me the million. I should be thanking you. He says, no, I understand that if not for the fact that I could give you a million, I never would have got the rest of the money. So it's completely in your zechus that I have 4 million. I'm delighted to give you the million. I'm more than happy to give you the million, because as a result of that, I now have all my money in the bank account. That's moshul number one. Moshul number two is, imagine the king, the same king, wants to give a million to this fellow Reuven, and he decides that he's not going to give it aledei shliach at all. So the melech personally knocks on his door, and the fellow opens it. Oh, well, I deserve this honor. Here's $1 million. I think it's very important. You need to support yourself. Thank you so much, Your Majesty. Says the king, 1 second, there's one request. It's very important for me that we develop in you the midah of chesed. It's not good to always be a taker. And if I'd like you, please, to give some of the money to a needy person. Otherwise you become very, very selfish and self-centered. I'd like you to give some of the money in order to foster that midah of generosity. Sure, that's what the king requests. That's what the king requested. So he goes out and he finds a poor man. He says, here's $100,000. I'd like to give it to you. Undoubtedly, the poor man will turn round to this Reuven who gave him the money and say, how can I ever thank you? I needed $100,000 and you've given it to me. End of Moshul. So we have two Moshulim. In Moshul number one, where the king gave it through the Shliach, but the Shliach got the change, so the Shliach thanks the recipient of the money because he understands it was only because of him that he's got all this money to pocket. Message number two, in the second Moshul, when the Melech gives it directly, but he has to give some to the Oni, then obviously the Oni will thank the one who donated the money to. End of Moshul number one, end of Moshul number two. Says the Chavazgan as follows. The function and the job of Kohanim and Klal Yisrael is to be the teachers and the learners and the poiskim of Klal Yisrael. We know that from a pasuk in Vezei Sabracha. It says, Yoiru Mishpotecho Le'yakim. They will be Yoiru, they're the Meirahiyah. They have to be the leaders of Klal Yisrael. That's the job and the function of the Kohen. Now, obviously, in order to do so, they have to dedicate their lives to Torah. They can hardly be the leaders of Klal Yisrael and the Rabbonim and the Poiskim in Torah if they're not dedicated to a life of Torah. And therefore, Kohanim dedicate their lives solely, utterly, and totally to Torah. For one moment, they also have to live. How are they going to have Parnassah? If they go out and spend the day in the office, they won't be able to be learning. If they spend all day learning, they won't have parnasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, this is the system that I'm setting up. I'm going to send money to Klal Yisrael for them to forward it to the Kohen. Why is that important? Because that way you can facilitate the Kohen. You'll be able to sit and learn all day, become a Talmud Chacham, and thereby be a leader in Klal Yisrael. In other words, says the Chavos Das, the Yisrael who brings the Bikurim to the Kohen has to understand that what? He is like the Shliach in the first Moshul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, I'm giving you a whole field of produce. Why a whole field? Well, the main reason is because I want some of it to go to the Kohen. You can keep the change. So the Yisrael realizes that what? Why have I got this field in the first place? Only as a means to an end. Because I'm the bank, as it were. I just have to pass it on to the Kohen. On top of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has topped me up and says you can keep the change the rest of the field. So obviously when I give the money, or I give the Bikurim to the Kohen, I can't stop thanking the Kohen. Thank you so much for providing me with the opportunity to give you this food, because I fully understand that if not for you, I wouldn't have it in the first place, if I wouldn't have the field at all. So he says, according to that, all the Diyukim are answered now. I come to the Kohen, I firstly declare, Borsi El Oretz, I've come to the Oretz. So we ask, but it's glaringly obvious you come to the Oretz, here you are. Says the Chavos Das, no, what he's declaring is, Borsi El Oretz, I've come to this land, why have I been Zeicher to this land? Do you know why I've been Zeicher to this land? Because I'm declaring, Lashem Eloi Checho, to Hashem, your God. What do you mean Hashem, your God? What, is only mine, is not yours? What I'm really declaring is that all this food that I have is because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu worrying about you. Not because he's worrying about me. It's the Hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over you, which is the reason that I've got this piece of Oretz in the first place. He doesn't chas v'shalom mean it's your God and not mine. He means it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern for your welfare, which has ultimately meant that I have this Oretz. Which I have this Oretz. Now, one second, somebody might come to Beis HaMikdash and say, one moment, please. Which Kohen do we have in the Beis HaMikdash nowadays? I had a look at the Kohen, I'm not so impressed. If I would have been living in the 1900s, the 1800s, a different time period, Choshev HaKohenim, the Chofetz Chaim, I would have been delighted to have supported him and given my Bikur, but this Kohen? That's why it needs to be stressed. HaKoyanim v'yomim ho'heim. Whichever Kohen is there, now that is your duty and your privilege to be able to support him. You've given the Bikurim. You are the one who has to thank him. Because you have to recognize that it's only in his zechus, Lashem aleikecho, it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of you. That's the reason, that's the only reason that I have this Oretz, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch was allowed me to keep the change. Says the Chavos Das in conclusion. That's how you have to look at it. And how does the Kohen view it? The Kohen views it as Moshul number two. I arrive at the Kohen's house and I give him my Bikurim and I can't stop thanking the Kohen. Thank you so much for allowing me to give this to you because I understand if not for you, I wouldn't have the food. So what does the Kohen respond? Oh, my pleasure? No. The Kohen turns around and says, that's the way that you have to look at things. I have to look at it differently. I have to look at it like in the second Moshul when the Oni received the money from the one who received the money from the king. My view on the situation is, ultimately, I didn't have money and you've given it to me. So I have to thank you. And that's why it says, the Kohen puts the basket where? Or the Mizbeach Hashem Elokecho. Now the emphasis has changed. The God of the Yisrael. In other words, the Kohen says, whilst you might be viewing the situation as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashkocha over me, which has allowed you to have this food, that's the way that you look at it, which is correct. I look at it differently. My Chir of HaKoras HaToiv says, I have to thank you. I thank you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked after you, and in that way, I ended up, I have this Bikurim. That's the Adkan Divrei HaChavos Das. A very, very, very important principle. It's a principle that I saw in many, many, many places. The Ksav Sofer Al HaTorah writes about this repeatedly. And in fact, he even asks it as a question. He says, isn't it strange, of all people in Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim, the choicest of the nation, the leaders of the Klal Yisrael, they are the ones who always have to beg for handouts. They're always the Mekablim, they're always the receivers. Says the Ksav Sofer, they're not the receivers at all, they're the givers. They are the givers. Because ultimately, anybody who has the ability to support them and support their Torah has to understand that why have they received it? Only because of the Kohen. Only because of the Kohen. In fact, we all know the Gemara. The Gemara says that Kol Olam, all of the world is supported by who? Chanina Bani. The great Chanina Ben Doisim. Says the Gemara, really? What, Chanina Ben Doisim is such a magnificent millionaire? The Gemara says, no. What did he eat every day? One or two carobs. So what does it mean that all of the world is sustained through Chanina Ben Doisim? In other words, all of the world has Parnasa in his zechus in order to be able to provide for him. Not that he's physically giving you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing what's his via you. That's what the Ksav Sefer says, that's what the Gemara says. In fact, there's a pasuk in our parasha. It says, "Vayivienu el amokim hazeh." In pasuk Yud, "Vayivienu el amokim hazeh." HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me to this mokim. Which mokim is being referred to over there? The Beis Hamikdash. "Vayivienu el amokim hazeh." I'm declaring and thanking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me to this mokim. Vayiten lonu es ha'oretz hazoiz. Eretz dobas tcholav u'dvosh. And he gave me this land. Now, one second. Does the order make sense in that pasuk? Because Baruch Hu brought me to the Beis HaMikdash and he gave me the land. He first gave us the land, and then I came to the Beis HaMikdash. The whole order is wrong. Says the Ksav Saifa. No, that's what it means. I understand why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring me to this land, which is Zavas Chola Budvosh. The answer is all for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, for the Kohanim and the Korbanos within. That's what this pasuk means. That's what this pasuk means. I think we've mentioned in the past very famous one-liner, frightening one-liner. When the Tells of Rosh Hashiva, Blazer Gordon, got married, as a young man he was supported by his father-in-law. And there was agreement he'd be fully supported for 5 years. When the 5 years came up, his father-in-law turned around to him and said, "I'm sorry, 5 years is 5 years. And that has now been completed and you're now in the room." So Blazer Gordon, the great Talmud Chacham, says he begged his father-in-law to support him for some further time. He said, "I have no way of sustaining myself. All I want to do, achashoalti, shifti beveis Hashem, that's all I want to do and learn." So the father-in-law says, "Beseder, one more year, but that's absolutely it, and that really is it." After a year was up, the father-in-law once again summons Blazer Gordon, the son-in-law, and says, "Listen, I gave you 5 years, you asked me for another year. I've given you another year, but that's absolutely it, non-negotiable." And the next morning, the father-in-law passed away. To which Blazer Gordon was supposed to have said, "Who was supporting who? Who was supporting who?" In other words, we sometimes view as the privilege or the duty in supporting Torah, "Oh wow, how lucky the Torah is that they have me." No, no, no. How lucky you are that you have the Torah to support. Because if not for that, you wouldn't have the money in the first place. That's what Blazer Gordon said. Who is really supporting who? What I'd like to explain, just perhaps for a moment or two, why is it that it's so important to support Torah? Don't worry, this is not a pitch for a kollel or for a shul. This is not a fundraiser. This is a shiur on the parasha in the session. We're being taught in this week's parasha, as the way the Chavazas explains it, that I recognize that it's Hashem Aleichem. It's all your zechus that I have the money in the first place. And therefore I must support Torah. So I'd like to share with you two very important points, and with that we'll finish, two very important points in understanding what are the benefits in supporting Torah. Specifically, as we're learning in our parasha, to support the Kohanim, because the Kohanim ultimately are the Lindei Torah. We must, of course, never forget the famous Rambam. Who are really the tribe? Which tribe is it that are dedicated to the life of Torah? As we mentioned, the Shevet Levi. We have the famous Rambam who says, "V'loi Shevet HaLevi Bilvad." It's not only Shevet Levi. Anyone, Kol Bohi Olam, anybody really can become that Levi and that Kohen who are Shevet Levi. Anybody who dedicates totally his life to Torah can become that person. You don't have to be born into Shevet Levi. That's their mandate, that's their job. That anybody can decide, "I want to totally dedicate my life to Torah, serious Torah learning," and in that zechus HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that he will be sustained. So what indeed is the maila of sustaining and supporting Torah? So only this week I saw the following in the Sefer Yaris Devash, which actually we quoted last week, Rav Yenison Ebershitz. He has droshes there, extremely lengthy. As I mentioned last week, he had droshes for 6 or 7 hours on the trot. Don't worry, it will be done in a few minutes. And he writes there as follows. The Gemara says, the Gemara asks in Brochas, "Noshim b'mai kozafya." What is the merit of noshim? Strange question. They do a lot of mitzvahs. What do you mean, what's the merit of noshim? The Gemara says, you know what the merit of noshim is? The fact that they send their husbands to go and learn. That's what it says. And it says they send their children to go and learn. What does that Gemara mean? Very strange. What do you mean, what's the chus of noshim? It's true, they're not chayiv in the mitzvah. It's mitzvah seishas mangaroma. A woman doesn't have to hear shofar, she doesn't have to shake lulav, she doesn't need to sit in the sukkah. But she has plenty of mitzvahs, just like men. So what does the Gemara mean? What's their zechus? They have plenty of zechus. So Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz explains a very, very, very important principle. And we'll see how this brings us back to our subject. There is one way, and one way only, to fight against the Yetzer Hara. As the Gemara tells us, Borasi Yetzer Hara, Borasi Toiro Tavlin. Torah is the antidote, and is the only antidote to the Yetzer Hara. There is no other way of backing the Yetzer Hara. How do we know there's no other way? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. And the Mesillas Yesharim tells us, and I think we've quoted this in the past, that anybody who comes along and thinks that he has alternative ways to fight against the Yetzer Hara is a fool. Why is he a fool? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara, and he told us how to fight against it. And how's that? With the Kriya HaTorah. So here we have a $64 million question. Noshim, women, don't have a mitzvah of learning Torah. They have to learn their halachos, obviously, in order to be able to keep Shabbos like everybody else, but the mitzvah of Talmud Torah they don't have. So where on earth is their weaponry against the Yetzer Hara? Says Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz, that is what the Gemara is asking. Noshim k'mamayka zachion doesn't mean what's their merit, what's their mitzvahs. They have no shortage of mitzvahs. What it means is, where is their weaponry? How do they fight against the Yetzer Hara? If you just now told me there is no other way of fighting against the Yetzer Hara other than Talmud Torah, when we don't have that mitzvah, so it's totally unfair. It's a one-sided battle. The Yetzer Hara fighting against Noshim, and they have no means to fight back. You know what the Gemara says? They do have an extent chelik in Talmud Torah. How so? Because they send their husbands and their children to learn. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz, you see here a phenomenal chiddush. That if you facilitate Torah learning, then you are able to battle against the Yetzer Hara in exactly the same way as people who learn Torah themselves. And that's what the Gemara's question was, and that's what the Gemara's answer was. What is the weaponry? Where's the arsenal of the Isha? How's she going to fight against the Yetzer Hara? The answer is, she also has a chelek in Talmud Torah, because if not for her, her husband wouldn't be able to go and learn, and neither would her children. So she ultimately is facilitating Limud Torah, then she can be nisgaba over the Yetzer Hara. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eberschitz in conclusion there. So too, he says, if somebody supports Torah learning, not a woman supporting her husband, but rather somebody financially supports Torah learning, even if he himself is unable to learn for whatever reason, but because ultimately he is enabling Torah learning, so he is on par with those who are actually learning Torah and is able to misgather over the Yetzer Hara. Phenomenal chiddush, phenomenal chiddush. Which means we have now understood what is the tremendous maila in supporting Torah. Besides the fact that one has to understand that if I have money to dedicate to Torah and to support the Kohanim, then the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to keep the change is only because I'm facilitating the learning of the Kohanim. But the Yonasan Eberschitz has taught us another chiddush. And if I support Torah learning, either a wife to a husband, a mother to a child, or a zvulun to a Yisachar, he can battle the Yetzer Hara as well. And he'll be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's point number one. Final point is, many Mefarshim point this out. If you look in Parashas Truma, where it discusses the binyan of the Beis Hamikdash, all the kelim, it says va'asisa menorah, you singular, va'asisa aroin, sorry, va'asisa shulchan. When it comes to the aroin, it doesn't say va'asisa, it doesn't say you shall make. What does it say? Va'asu, plural. Says the Kliyoka, because when it comes to Torah, everybody has a chelek. Those learning and those supporting. What does the Aron look like? The Aron has the actual box, and then it has the badim, the poles that support it. Do you need the badim to support the Aron? To the contrary, it says the Aron supported, those are the ones lifting it. And it says, Lo yasuru mimenu, never remove the poles from the Orein. There is an absolute achdus, a oneness between those who are supporting the Orein, the Torah, and the Torah itself. So much so, that the Mefarshim say, I saw this last night in the writings of the Chofetz Chaim, and then I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes the same, tremendous chiddush. The Gemara says, if you support Torah learning, you will be in Gan Eden together with the Talmidei Chachamim you supported. So both the Chofetz Chaim and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky both write the following. They say, one moment. Why is that a reward? Imagine you're going to come upstairs. I'm an Amor Oretz, but I supported a big Talmud Chacham, so I'm going to come there, I'm going to be sitting next to him. I'll be so awfully embarrassed. He'll be there learning Torah, Kala, Torah, Kula. What am I going to add? I'm sitting there as an Amor Oretz, I've got nothing to add to the conversation. Why is that considered a reward? You know what they both say? If you facilitated Torah learning, you'll get upstairs to Shomayim, and you will know all of the Torah that you supported. And that's the scam. So I'll be able to have a conversation with the greatest Talmidei Chachamim on par, because I'll know whatever they know. Phenomenal Chiddush. The story is told, unbelievable thing, that in Europe there was a big machlokes between the Rabbonim about a certain complicated issue of shatness. Oh, big shayla alacha. Reb Chaim Volozhin, the great Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, had a dream. And in his dream, there appeared to him a certain person who was always known as a great Amoret. And he appeared to him, and he gave him the answer to his shayla. And not only did he give the answer, he gave him a whole shtickle Torah as well, including all the sources and all the proofs. That's what appeared to Reb Chaim Volozhin in a dream. And they couldn't understand, how can it be that this person was always known as a very simple Amoret? Maybe he was a Tzadik Nista, nobody knew about him. It turns out, no, he wasn't Amoret. But he always supported Torah learning. When he came upstairs to Shemayim, he was as big a Talmud Chacham as all the bigger Talmidei Chacham. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his own very novel way, he says, you know what the pshat is? How could that be? Sounds strange. But I support Torah learning, and then all of a sudden I'm a big Talmud Chacham. At the end of the day, it's all very nice that you were the Zvulun, but it's the Yisachar who came to Beis HaMedrash and worked 10 hours a day to learn. So how do you get it all as a gift? So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, I'll tell you the formula, very, very simple. All of us knew Kol HaTorah Kula. When did we know it? As I'll say, every unborn fetus in his mother's womb knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He's just about to enter the world, the Malach gives a flick, he forgets it. Why? Because a person is born to toil. You have to toil, there's a thing of Amelus. Which means, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, essentially, we all knew Kol HaTorah Kula. There's a condition attached, you have to toil. So here comes the Chiddush. This person toiled in the Beis HaMedrash, and this other person toiled in the office to support the one in the Beis HaMedrash. So ultimately, when he comes upstairs to Shemayim, he knows Kol HaTorah Kula, it's not as a freebie, that's the Torah that he knew all along when he was in his mother's womb. Just he had to toil to be able to claim it. I was toiling. I toiled. To support Torah learning. So for your Makayim, the halacha of Amelus. So this therefore is our second great big understanding where they're explaining to us another mile in supporting Torah learning. The first point was that is our gun. That is our weapon against the Yetzer Hara. Somebody's unable to learn to the extent that you would like, for whatever reason, how on earth is he going to misgaber over the Yetzer Hara? The answer is, he will facilitate Torah learning. The second point is, that if you indeed facilitate Torah learning, you're as great a Talmud Chacham, the Zvulun, as the Yisachar. And ultimately, after Me'ev Esrim Shani, you'll Taka indeed be together in Gan Eden. You'll be in Gan Eden. That's the Chiddush. And we've been taught this lesson in this week's parasha. That's why, as the Chavazdas put it in his moshel, when the king gave me the money and says, fine, you can keep the change, really the Talmud Chacham is not the one who has to be thanking me. I have to be thanking the Talmud Chacham, and I say to him, Hashem Elekecho, it's your God. I mean, it's not mine, of course it's mine, but it's your God. It's like a Baruch Hu whose Hashkocha over you has ultimately facilitated that I have the money to give to you, because if not for you, I wouldn't have it in the first place. That is an altogether different look It's not a burden, it's not something that nebuch we have to do. We cannot and we should not stop thanking the privilege with the chus to be machzik Torah for all the reasons we just explained. Number one, because ultimately that's why I have the wherewithal, financial wherewithal in the first place. Secondly, that is my ticket, that is my klei zayin, my weapon to be able to be misgaber of the Yetzer Hara. And thirdly and finally, that gives me the same stature as the Talmud Chacham itself. So you can have a very simple Amo Ores who came through Chaim Volozhin and you call it Torah Kula because you supported Torah learning. If you support Torah learning, then ultimately you become like the Badin. The supporters of Torah, they cannot be removed from the Oren. You cannot have the Oren without the Badin, you cannot have the Badin without the Oren. Torah has always relied on its supporters, but better put, the supporters of Torah have to understand that it's in the zechus of the Torah that they had the ability to support Torah in the first place.